Romans chapter 5, we'll be focusing today on verses 18 and 19, so read along with me if you would. Paul writes, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous."
I'd like to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we begin to look into the Word of God. We need the help of God as we study His Word, so let's do that together. Thank you, Father, just for this opportunity to open the Scriptures today. Thank you for this time of worship that we've enjoyed, and as we continue today, right now in Your Word, we praise You and thank You. And Father, we ask for Your help. We always want to do this. We realize that because of that sin that's within us, that we're challenged in our hearing, challenged in our understanding. And Father, we need that work of the Spirit as we study together. So we ask it this morning. And Father, we pray that these truths about justification will not only encourage us in our salvation, but God, would move us to truly bring glory and honor to You as we understand what You've done for us. We who are in Adam, what You've done for us in Christ Jesus. So help us now. May we bring glory to You. We look forward to the change in our minds, in our hearts, in our actions through time with You this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin today with two statements of reality that each and every person here today knows and can confirm. Two statements of reality. The first statement is this: there is sin in the world. There is sin in the world. That's reality. And the second statement is this, and they are closely connected. You can't separate them. There is death. Think about it this morning. Two realities. There is sin in the world, and there is death. And folks, I would say to you this morning that these two truths stare at us every day of our lives. We are confronted with sin, and we are confronted with death. And there is no escape. We can't get away from it. There is sin, and there is death. Outside the witness of our own minds and hearts and thoughts and actions and experience, even the world around us clearly declares the reality of sin and death. When I thought about Memorial Day, and sometimes I'm moved to preach a specific sermon on Memorial Day, and yet as I've looked at Romans 5, I was just pulled right back to Romans 5 because this is a Memorial Day passage. There is sin and there is death. And how appropriate as we think about Memorial Day tomorrow. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, folks who are gathered today in this place, there is sin in the world. And there is sin in my heart, and there is sin in yours. And this sin that lies in the innermost being of every human being has ruined this world and every person in it. And from this sin that is within us comes every sin that is outside of us. This sin, this inside and outside sin, is moving steadily without change and without stop toward death. Now, what does that have to do with Romans chapter 5? You see, when you begin a teaching, you begin a sermon like that, it's heavy, isn't it? If you really stop and you really begin to think and consider the words that have been spoken, there's a weight to what I've just said. There is sin in the world. There is death because of sin. And what does it have to do with Romans chapter 5? Well, first of all, Romans chapter 5 reveals that every one of us face the reality of sin in our own lives. Every one of us knows the reality of Paul's statement in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Look at it with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because Paul says in this verse, Romans 5, 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Every one of us knows the guilt of sin and the condemnation of sin. Every one of us knows that there is something not right between us and our Creator. Every one of us has asked or will ask, how can I be right with God? How can I get rid of this guilt? How can I get rid of this condemnation? How can I get rid of this thought of coming judgment? How can I stand before the righteous judge of the universe? And Romans 5 also means that all of us have this question about life after death. We have questions about death. When a person dies, when death takes place, what happens? Is there nothingness? Do we simply pass out of existence? Is there unconsciousness and non-existence forever? Is a human being who is created in the image of God, who has a will and a conscience and reason, is a human being simply like a piece of grass or a stick or a leaf? Or is there a judge? Is there a judgment? Is there a reckoning? Is there a meeting with our Creator, our Maker, our Judge? Is there eternal life after death? These are big questions, aren't they? These are questions of eternity. And folks, I submit to you this morning that these are questions that have answers, and we find the answers here in Romans chapter 5. Because the message of Romans chapter 5, if we would summarize it this morning, if we would put it in an invitation, the answer from Romans 5 would be this: come. Come, all we who are sinners. Come, we who are liars, and we who are thieves, and we who are coveters and blasphemers and brawlers and fornicators and gossips and rebels and hypocrites, come and let us hear how we might be right with God and how our guilt might be removed and our conscience made clean. Come, all of us who will die, come and hear how we can be ready to meet our Creator and our Maker and our Judge unafraid. Folks, this is the reality of Romans 5. And if you've asked yourself the question, why is Pastor taking so much time in Romans 5? There it is. There it is. This is the reality of Romans 5. It would be good for us to spend just a few minutes this morning. In summary, we've worked our way and working our way through Romans 5. In the last few weeks, we've been focusing on verses 12 to 19. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19 is very important, a very important passage, but it's also a very difficult passage. The main point of this passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19, is that what Christ has done for all who were in Him by faith is far, far greater than what Adam did for all those who were in Him by nature. So Christ is greater, and what Christ has done for us is far greater than what Adam did to us or for us. Another way to say it would be this, that the disobedience of Adam brought all those who were in him condemnation and death. And we've learned that's all of us. And the obedience of Christ brought all who are in him to justification and life. What a difference. If we're in Adam or we're in Christ, we're all in Adam, and yet God, by His grace, gives us opportunity to be in Christ. And what a difference, a universe in difference between being in Adam and in Christ. For the first five chapters of the book of Romans, Paul has been laboring to make clear and plain for us the truth that sinners are put right with God not on the basis of any righteousness in ourselves, but on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is received by faith alone. That, folks, is the message of Romans. That's the message of salvation. And here in this passage, Romans 5, 12 through 19, Paul takes us to the deep cause for why God saves us this way. Because God saves us this way through Christ because it corresponds to the way that we were condemned in Adam. You see, our condemnation at its deepest root comes not from what we do individually, but from what Adam did as our representative. And the connection then with Jesus is this: our justification at its deepest root comes not from what we do, but what Christ did for us. And so Paul's reason for this comparison between Adam and Christ is to make clear that the root cause of our justification is the righteousness or the obedience of Jesus Christ, in the same way that the root cause of our condemnation was the sin or disobedience of Adam. Now you begin to put that together, and we've mentioned that now for several weeks, and we've been looking closely at what Paul says. But the reason that God is pushing our understanding here and revealing this hard doctrine of original sin is that we are prone to think that we get right with God through the performing of good works or deeds of righteousness. Do you see that? And this has been Paul's message throughout the last few chapters in the book of Romans. You see, we are challenged. We move in this direction that we want to get right with God, and we can get right with God by doing good things or being righteous in ourselves. But God is pushing our understanding and helping us understand that we must cast ourselves as helpless sinners on God's mercy and God's grace, and depend upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone as the only basis for getting right with God. That's Romans 5. That's why it's so important. And folks, that means, and we've said it many, many times before, it's all about Jesus. We heard that this morning. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus has done. It's about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Now this morning, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We're working our way through the passage. Because I think Paul brings everything together with this statement, and he declares how we can be right with God. So we need to look at these verses carefully. Look again with me, Romans 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Now, when we read this statement, it's easy to see the main point about justification. Because justification happens to all who are connected to Jesus Christ in the same way that condemnation happened to those who were connected with Adam. See, that's the comparison that Paul gives us throughout this passage. But we ask ourselves, how is that? And we understand that Adam acted sinfully, and because we are connected with Adam, he was the first of the human race, then we were condemned in him. But Christ acted righteously, and because we are connected with Jesus Christ by faith, then we are justified. We are righteous in Christ. And another way to say it simply is this, that Adam's sin is counted to us, and Christ's righteousness by faith is counted as ours. And so again, we go back to the truth that we're in Adam, all of us in Adam, and yet God, by His grace and mercy, gives us opportunity to be in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our righteousness, none of our own, but the righteousness of Jesus. Now look at verse 18. There's a phrase here that Paul uses. We ask ourselves this question, well, what is this one man's righteous act that Paul speaks about in verse 18? Do you see it? One man's righteous act. He says, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, we would probably think that the one man's righteous act was the death of Jesus Christ. One man's righteous act. We know the one man is Jesus, and we think of the death of Jesus Christ. And yet, I would say to you this morning that it might be best to think of Christ's entire life and ministry and death and resurrection as a single whole, one great act of righteousness. Because He was a righteous man, perfect in righteousness, and all that He did was in righteousness. He was righteous, He lived righteously, He died in righteousness, He was raised in righteousness. And so even this morning, if we think of His death as that one righteous act, His death leading to resurrection was the culmination of many acts of righteousness, a righteous life, perfect in righteousness. And that righteousness of Jesus Christ, Paul says here in verse 18, resulted in justification of life. So Christ's righteousness became the basis of our acceptance before our Creator and our Judge, who is God. Christ's righteousness is counted as our righteousness because we are connected with Jesus Christ through faith. And folks, that's what justification means. That's what we've been talking about now for several months. Now look at verse 19. Verse 19. Because Paul says essentially the same thing another way to make sure that we get the point. Look what he says, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Now, if you look carefully, you can see that the main difference in verse 19 and verse 18 is that Paul uses the word obedience instead of righteousness. And I think that he does that to help us understand what he means by the righteous act. You see, the word obedience means compliance to God's will. Now let's think about this. Adam did not comply to God's will. Adam was disobedient. He did not comply to the revealed will of God. He disobeyed. And we were counted or appointed sinners in Adam because of his disobedience. But Christ complied with God's will. Christ obeyed God's will. And we who believe in Christ, we who receive Christ by faith, are then counted or appointed righteous in Christ. And oh, folks, we desperately need that righteousness. And that righteousness is the only thing that will allow us to stand before God righteous or justified. And it's not our own. It's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so our complete righteousness is totally, absolutely, and entirely based on what Jesus Christ did. His righteousness, His obedience is counted as ours, and we are counted as righteous in Him by faith in Him, in Jesus. Now look closely at verse 19. Because Paul makes a statement here, and it's confused many people. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And I'll draw your attention to it with a question. So who are the many who will be made righteous? Look what he says, verse 19. He says, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So who are the many? This is extremely important to everyone here today, because I would then ask this question, are you one of the many? So who are the many, and are you one of the many? Now go back to verse 18. I want you to notice that Paul says, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So now we've got some questions before us. Who are the many? Are you one of the many? And then from verse 18, who are the all men? Because we look at that statement, one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Does this mean that every human being who is in Adam will also be justified, so that no one will be lost and everyone will be saved? You know, there are people who look at that verse and that's what they see. That's what they understand, that this is a verse that teaches a universal salvation. Everyone will be righteous. Everyone will be right with God because of Paul's statement about all men. The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So is that what it means? And I would say plainly to you this morning, no, that's not what it means. That's not what Paul means here. So what does he mean? Let's find out what he means. Go back to verse 17. He says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now notice that in this statement he speaks about the receiving of the gift of righteousness. Do you see that? That's important. He talks about receiving those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. You know, that sounds like that not everyone receives it. That sounds like that some receive the gift and some don't receive the gift. Paul says much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Now what that means, folks, is that not all people will be justified because the gift of righteousness has to be received. Now let's stop here for a moment, because that will help us answer the question, are you one of the many? Because we can ask it this way, are you one of the many, or have you received this gift of righteousness? Receiving the gift, this gift, then makes you one of the many. Look at verse 18. Notice that the phrase "to all men," resulting in justification of life in verse 18, does not mean that all humans are justified. Why would I say that? Because all we need to do is go back in the book of Romans, and we find out that in the book of Romans and elsewhere in the New Testament, that the Apostle Paul teaches that there is eternal punishment, eternal judgment for those who were not justified. Hold your place and turn back to Romans chapter 2 and look with me at verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Paul says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You know what that verse tells us? That there are some people who will receive the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so the wrath of God is against certain people, the judgment of God. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3, 19. Paul says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." The whole world guilty before God. We begin to put some of these things together now in our thinking, and we realize when Paul mentions all men here in Romans chapter 5, he's not saying that all men are saved. He's not saying that all men are justified. As a matter of fact, you must receive the free gift, and if you don't receive the free gift, then you face the judgment of God and the wrath of God. You're guilty. All are guilty. There must be a change in our standing before God. We who were guilty must become righteous. And we found out over and over again, it's nothing we do. It's not our righteousness. It's not our good works. It's not our religious activities. But it's the righteousness of someone else. And whose righteousness must we have? Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. We must have His righteousness to be justified. And so all people will not be justified, because the Bible clearly states that some will face the wrath and the judgment of God forever. But then notice also verse 18, justification of life to all men in verse 18 doesn't mean that all humans are justified, because in all of Romans, all of our study thus far in Romans, elsewhere in the New Testament, we find out that justification is not automatic. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen to all people. It's not automatic, but it's through faith. It's through faith. Go back to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." We are justified by faith. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Therefore having been justified by what? By faith. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so it's faith that connects us with Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And folks, it is faith alone. Not faith and good works, not faith and good intentions, not faith and religious deeds, not faith and keeping the law, but it is faith and faith alone in the person of God through Jesus Christ. That's the basis of our justification. Now, if you wanted a term to describe everything that we've just summarized for you, it would have to be the term good news. I mean, this is good news. This is the gospel. This is good news. This is wonderful news. This is news that goes beyond our understanding and comprehension, but it is good news. And folks, when we bring all these things together and we understand what God has done for us, how would we describe this good news? Well, you know, you could read Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5, and you could quote some of the verses that we've quoted even this morning, but yet we bring them all together and we ask ourselves, how do we understand this good news? How would we describe it? How would we share it with someone else? We could share it this way, that God is our Creator, God is our Maker, and God made us as Creator and Maker. He made us to love Him and to glorify Him and to depend upon Him, but we rebelled against God, and we are sinners by nature. And we are sinners by action. And we are separated. And we are cut off from our Creator. And His righteous judgment and condemnation and punishment is on every one of us because of our sin. But in His great love and mercy and grace, God the Father sent God the Son. We know Him as Jesus Christ, the God-man, to live a perfect life, perfect in obedience, perfect in righteousness. He sent Him to die as our substitute. Jesus Christ died in our place. He took our sin penalty. He took upon Himself the wrath of God and the judgment of God. That which we deserved, He took upon Himself. And He died in our place. And He rose from the dead, showing that God accepted His sacrifice and that all that Christ did on the cross fully satisfied God, our Creator. And God then, because of His great mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, God calls us now to repent. He calls us to change our mind about God, about Jesus, about sin, and to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our God and Savior. And our sins will be forgiven because Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be given to us. Sins forgiven and the righteousness of Jesus given to us. Now you put that all together, and that is good news. That is great news. That's the gospel. That's what God has done through Jesus Christ. And so here then is the message as we look at Romans chapter 5. Here's the message for every one of us today. This is a message for all of us who are liars and thieves and cheaters and gossips and rebels and fornicators and adulterers and coveters and blasphemers and brawlers and haters and complainers and grumblers and all human beings, all of us, whatever we have done, here is the message for every one of us. We can be right with God. Not on the basis of our own righteous acts, but on the basis of Christ's righteous act, which we receive by faith. That's what God has done for us through Jesus. So I say to you this morning, and I urge you, While there is still time in this world that is full of sin and death, receive for yourself what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus for righteousness, and trust Him now, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what your past. Put your trust in Jesus, and His righteousness will be yours, and you will be able to stand before your Creator and judge in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to stand before Him unafraid and thankful for Jesus. That's the message of Romans 5. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just simply thank You for Your help. As we've looked at this passage, and we'll continue to do so, we praise Your name. For Father, we need reminders, constant reminders, of who You are and what You've done for us through Christ. And Father, my prayer this morning is, if there is someone here today who was not connected with Jesus Christ through faith, if there is someone here today who stands before You right now without righteousness, God, I pray that today would be that time when You open up their hearts, their minds, their understanding to You. God, that You will reveal Yourself to them today by this word. They will see that they are lost and undone and helpless, and they need a Savior. And there is only one, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Your faithful work in the lives of people today. Father, for we who have received that gift, that work of grace through Jesus, God, help us to be thankful people, and humble people, constantly realizing that this is not of our works or not of our efforts, not of our strength, but it's entirely of You, by grace, through faith in Jesus. And God, I pray this morning that we would live our lives, help us to live our lives, even as we have received the gospel, to live it daily. We thank You now for our time together. Thank You for this time in the Word. And Lord, we simply trust You to do what You will do, and only You can do, by Your Spirit through Your Word. We praise Your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing.